Well, good morning, everybody. It's great to see you all this morning. It's great just to be able to come together to worship God together, isn't it? And if you're visiting this morning, I pray that you will just feel welcome as we just share together the good news that we have in Jesus Christ. So we're going to just spend a few minutes in worship. We're going to sing a couple of songs together. Feel free to stand and sing as we just worship our great God. We're going to start with "Praise is rising, eyes are turning to you." We turn to you, because when we see you, we find strength to face the day. And in your presence, Heavenly Father, all our fears are washed away, because he is the God who saves us. Amen. Let's stand and sing together. Heavenly Father, this morning we do indeed welcome you here amongst us. And Lord, as we come today to seek your face, Father, I pray you will pour out your Spirit amongst us, that as we just come to just exclaim and proclaim what a great God we have, that you will just meet with us this morning, pour out your Spirit upon us, and give us a great time as we share you together. Amen. Annalisa's going to come now and just share some notice that she has, and then after that, Sheila's going to come and pray with us. Thanks, guys.
Are we working? Yeah, sorry. Okay, so notices are emailed out to you monthly, so if you're not receiving them and you've given me your email address, check your junk boxes. Paper copies are available on the back wall in the meeting room, and the new ones will be out next week. There is a new prayer meeting that has started up again on a Tuesday morning here in the building. You're all welcome to come and join us to pray for our church family, community and the wider world. That's at 10:30 a.m. Trailblazers Family Quiz Night is this Friday. No, week on Friday, the 25th. Everybody's welcome. If you know families around you that you could invite, please do. Church members, the next church meeting is on the 16th of March, and this will include a special church meeting section where we will be looking at the new constitution to seek your approval of the changes. All members should either have had it emailed to you from me or received a paper copy if you do not have emails. If you haven't received a copy, please see me after service and I'll make sure that I get one to you. You can also find it on the members section of the church website, and there is a paper copy in the meeting room along with the minutes of the last meeting. The sections that are changing are highlighted in yellow, so please take time to read it before the meeting on the 16th, because that will speed up the meeting somewhat. Thank you. Sign-up sheets are available today in the meeting room on the back wall for greeting on the door and for the tech. These start next week, so if you can sign up, that would be great. We're going to start serving refreshments after service again from the beginning of March, and again, the sign-up sheet is there if anybody would like to set up and serve refreshments after service. And the last one is that cup of cake and chat is on this Friday at 2 till 3, and we'd love to see you. Everyone is welcome, so if you have a friend or a neighbour you could invite along, they would be more than welcome. Thank you.
Our prayers. Let us open our hearts and our minds and come to the Lord in prayer. Let us pray. We pray for our church and our church family, Lord, and thank you for bringing us together after such traumatic times. We think of our young ones, Lord, and we trust that they will come back into our church family so that we can nurture them and fill their hearts with your love and give them a better understanding of how much your love means to them. We send our love and prayers to those we know that are sick, suffering and bereaved. Dear Lord, give them the strength, hope and courage to bring them through their ordeals. We pray for Nick as he travels his journey with you, Lord. May he find the strength, the hope and the courage of your love guiding him on his way. And we pray for Dawn and the boys working alongside him. We pray for our local community here in Daresborough and the businesses that have suffered during COVID. May they now see a new beginning to their businesses and, with the help of our community, find hope to continue to provide for our needs. We think of our troubled world, Lord. We sincerely hope that the leaders of all nations shall come together in harmony and peace, and that our government will make the right decisions to keep the peace in our world. We pray for our Queen in her platinum year of reign, who has been guided by your love, Lord, and the love of the nation. May she continue to uphold the dedication to her people, for which we humbly thank her. And lastly, we pray for ourselves and our families, near and far. We thank you, Lord, for your continued love, hope and peace in our lives. Help our church to rise up, Lord, and seize the day, believing that there are no no-go areas for you, Lord, no people that cannot be reached, no chains that cannot be broken. Send us out into your world. Ignite us with your flame, bringing light, hope and love wherever you send us. And we say together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen.
I want to tell you a story. Is that all right? And it's a story about a lady. And this lady, she was married, had a wonderful husband, and she would go to work every day through the town, through the shops, to get to her workplace. Now, I'm going to have some help with this story because it's a bit visual. So I've asked a really lovely lady to come and play the part of the lady. Is that all right? Now, who did I ask? Neve. Come on, Neve. All right, you're going to play the part of the lady for me. So you come and stand here for a minute. Okay, so you're the lovely lady, all right? Excellent. Okay. So this lovely lady, every day she would walk past the shops to her workplace. And one day she was walking past a shop window and something caught her eye. And it caught her eye so much that she had to stop and look at it. And in this window, right at the front, right in the middle, was this fantastic hat. And it was the most beautiful hat that she had ever seen. It had a blue ribbon around it and it was lovely. And she said, "Oh, I do like that hat. I'm going to go in and try it on." So into the shop she went and she tried on this hat. And she stood in the mirror and she looked at herself. She said, "Oh, I do look beautiful in this hat. It brings out my cut. Oh, it's lovely. I'm going to buy this hat," she said. And she did. She bought the hat and she took it with her to work. Who would like to see the hat she bought? Yes, okay, right. So, Neve, in this box there's a hat. Can you find that? Right. Get out of the hat and put it on for me. Look at that, eh? Isn't that a fantastic hat? Isn't it the most beautiful hat you have ever seen in your life? And she loved this hat and she took it home. And the first thing she did, as soon as she rushed in through the door at the end of the day, "Darling, darling, darling, look at this hat that I've bought." And she showed her husband. And he looked at it and he said, "Oh, that is a lovely hat. I do like that one. I particularly like the blue band." Now, gentlemen, you know what happens, don't you, when your other halves come home with a brand new hat? Now, you know where this is going, don't you? Yes? Yeah, I can see a few nods. Yeah, you can see where this is going, can't you? Yeah, she said, "I've got a lovely hat." So she took it upstairs. She looked at herself in the mirror and said, "Lovely," she said. And she thought to herself, "I haven't got anything really that goes with this hat, this lovely new hat. There's nothing. I've got so many dresses, so many shoes, so many bags, but there's nothing that goes with this particularly beautiful hat." So you can see where this is going, can't you? And the husband knew where this was going. So the lady said, "Darling," she said, "I have this wonderful hat, but I've got nothing I can wear to go with it." So the husband said, "Okay. So when you're out on your travels, you can go and look for some other things to go with this lovely hat." So she thought, "Great, I can spend some money. Excellent." So she booked a special day. A whole day of shopping. Isn't that exciting, gents? Can't think of anything worse. Okay, so he took his wife shopping and she found a lovely pair of knee-high black boots to go with this lovely hat. She even took the hat with her so she could try on the outfit and check to make sure it all matched. And she looked, "Oh, those boots don't half look lovely. They go lovely with my hat. Darling, could I have these boots?" And he looked at him and went, "Yeah, okay, if you must." "Right, so, Neve, would you like to show everybody the boots you bought? These lovely black boots, yes? Okay, they're in here. Okay, so let's get the black knee-high boots out. That's right, look at these. Oh, aren't they beautiful?" Okay, so put them down there, Neve. "But if you'd like to step into those, that'd be great. You might need to take your shoes off to get into them. Oh, they're beautiful, aren't they? Look, imitation leather and all sorts. It's lovely. Okay. Look, don't I look lovely now? I've got my hat and I've got my knee-high boots. Oh, I'm feeling so much better about myself," she said. "Fantastic. Brilliant. Okay. Now, she was all right on the top, beautiful hat. She was all right on the bottom, beautiful boots. But we need something in the middle, don't we?" So she kept looking. And she walked into the shop and she saw this coat. Oh, and it was pastel blue. It matched the ribbon. It was perfect for this outfit. Absolutely perfect. She said, that's the one. That's the coat I want to go with my outfit. So she said, darling, could I buy this coat to go with my outfit? Yes, if you must. Okay, so she bought this coat to go with her outfit. Is there a coat in there that we can see, Neve? Okay, pastel blue, beautiful. Put it on. Oh, it's lovely. Oh. Okay. Oh, it fits you so beautifully. It's perfect fit, isn't it? Go and stand there. Okay, give us a twirl, Neve. Give us a twirl. Oh, it's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. And she was so pleased with her outfit. And she took it home, and it was lovely. Anyway, a few weeks went by, and the husband got an invite at work to one of these really posh do's. And it was a black tie dinner. Now, I don't know if you've ever been to a black tie dinner, but you have to wear dicky bow black, and you have to wear the suit with the stripes down and the tie. Oh. And guess what? You're allowed to take your partners. Oh, sorry, Neve. Sorry, we've lost your beautiful hat, haven't we? Okay, so she said, darling, would you like to come to this wonderful dinner with me? It's a work do. And of course, the eyes lit up. And she said, oh, yes, I'd love to come with you to this do. I've got a new outfit I could wear. So she dressed up in her outfit, her lovely hat, her knee-high boots, and her lovely blue pastel coat. And she went to this really posh hotel, to this really posh do. Now, you can imagine what some of the other ladies thought when the wife of this man turned up in her lovely hat and her boots and her beautiful coat. They looked, and to be honest, they weren't overly impressed. And they sat down for the meal together, and the husband sat with his wife. And he looked at his wife, because everybody now was looking at this lovely lady in her lovely new outfit. And he looked at his wife and he whispered in her ear and he said, darling, he says, you are the most beautiful thing I have ever, ever seen. And the wife smiled. And they carried on. Thank you, Neve. You can take all these bits off now. That's lovely. And you know, that's exactly like God when he looks at you and me. It doesn't matter what we're wearing. It doesn't matter what type of car we've got, what type of house we live in. God looks at you and he looks at me and he sees us, thanks, Neve. He sees us for what we are, doesn't he? The special person that he created us to be. So I want you to remember that. It doesn't matter what we've got in life, what we haven't got in life, how we compare ourselves to the person next door. God loves you and me uniquely because we're special. Hallelujah. Amen. Our reading this morning, if you're following or want to follow, it's from the book of Psalms, and it's Psalm 139. It's a cracking psalm, this. And we're just going to read the first 18 verses together. So if you've got your devices or you've got your Bibles and you want to look it up, Psalm 139. And it says this. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and you know when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there
Your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my innermost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden for you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Hallelujah. What a great psalm that is, isn't it, of David? As we think about what it is to live in Christ. Before I just share a few thoughts around that psalm and some other places in God's word, we're going to sing. And we're going to sing this fantastic hymn, God of Grace, Amazing Wonder, Irresistible and Free. Oh, the miracle of mercy, Jesus reaches down to me. God of Grace, I stand in wonder as my God restores my soul. His own blood has paid my ransom, awesome cost to make me whole. Let's stand and sing together. Thanks, Brian. So today we're continuing our series looking at who we are in Christ. Truths from God's word that we can hold on to and affirm for our lives. Last week We recognise that we're forgiven and loved, and therefore we have a reason to hope. So let's start today by saying this, and we've already really talked about it. You are special. In Christ, you are special. You are God's very own creation from his imagination. He made only one of you and delights in your uniqueness. Do you know that? Does that excite you this morning, that God delights in your uniqueness? David, whilst praising God in Psalm 139, we've already read it this morning. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. Now, tomorrow is Valentine's Day. I hope you've remembered. But just reminding you if you haven't. And it's that time of year when people seem to go mad, making that extra effort to show that other person just how loved they are. A huge 3-foot card, or masses of red roses, a romantic weekend in Paris. Oh, here we go, yeah. Or maybe even a 3-month cruise around the Caribbean. Now I can see my wife smiling here as she says, yes, Nick, that would be lovely. But just how far do you go to show your love for that special person? And if it's only on Valentine's Day, then something might not be quite right. You know, for God, every day is Valentine's Day. And he wants to continually show you and me how much he loves us. And David here in this psalm is in awe of God's creation. You know, where he uses that word fearfully, he's actually saying that when he looks at himself, he is in astonishment at the awesomeness of what God has created. And so he's in awe of God himself. And we see here he says he's wonderfully made. And where David talks about being wonderfully made, this comes from the Hebrew word palah. And it literally means to be separated or distinct or unique. God made you and me distinct, special, and unique. Even identical twins are not 100% identical. And there are about 7.9 billion people living on this planet. And there are not two that are exactly 100% the same. God's works are wonderful. That's you, and that's me. No wonder David was totally in awe as he praised God. For you created my innermost being, he says. You knit me together in my mother's womb. This reminds me, you know, of a potter who takes a simple lump of clay and works and fashions it into something of use. As the clay spins around on the wheel, the potter uses his hands to shape and mould the clay into something of beauty, something of value. And I'm wondering this morning if you have allowed God to get his hands on you. Have you allowed God to take you and shape you into the person that he wants you to be? We're special to him. But you know, all of us remain a what I call a WIP, a work in progress. God created us to have value. In Ephesians it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. And this leads us nicely onto our second thought. In Christ, you have a purpose. God has prepared an exciting path ahead of you to accomplish his plan. Did you know that? That in Christ, you and me have a purpose? We do. And it reminds me of this verse from Jeremiah. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. And this is so encouraging to know that God has my future mapped out. It's one of those verses that I'm going to be holding on to as I close the door to my current job in August and step into the things that I know God has for me and for us as a fellowship as we move forward together in Him. And I trust that you can take this verse and realize that you too have a purpose. God, the master potter, having shaped and molded you into the vessel he wants you to be, now expects you to carry out the tasks he created you for. But how do we know what God's plans are for our lives? Well, our verse tells us that God knows the plan, right? For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. So isn't it obvious that if he knows the plans he has for us, that the first thing we need to do is to ask him. Simply ask him to say, God, what plans have you got for my life? Let me try and illustrate this with a glass. Now I want you to pretend for a moment that this glass is you. It's lovingly been created for a purpose, right? And the purpose of this glass is to do what? Hold liquid. Excellent. To hold liquid. So God wants to use you for the purpose that he created you for. What happens if you haven't asked God in the first place about that plan for your life? The only thing you can do is to try it on your own, isn't it? And of course, what happens when the Holy Spirit comes along and tries to get into your life to begin that work that he's planned for you? That's what happens. Absolutely nothing. Not carrying out its purpose at all. Completely useless, right? Okay, so we ask God to tell us what he wants us to do. And we've recognized that we have a purpose and we've asked. But we don't like what God is telling us. We do a Jonah. We run 100 miles. And we fill our lives up with things that we don't need. Now, I could try to have this glass fulfill its purpose. And yes, maybe it might contain a little bit of liquid. But, you know, when we've got stuff in our lives that's not supposed to be there, and that God says he wants to shape, mould and get rid of, we still can't fulfil our purpose when we've got all that junk inside of us, can we? So even though we've asked, we've got to remember that God, the master potter, really, he's in control. And as we're work in progress, he wants to take those things out of our lives that shouldn't be there. And then he wants to fill us with things of him. So when he's done that, when he's got rid of all the junk that we don't need anymore, when we've surrendered all that to him, and that's a process in itself, isn't it? And it's an ongoing process, because we can keep filling ourselves up with junk even when God's emptied us, can't we? But when we allow God, the potter, having created us primarily, really, for worship, and we submit our lives to him and say, God, use me for the things that you would have me for, the Holy Spirit can then come in and do this. And he can fill us as he wants us. Isn't that amazing? Then he can use us for the things that he wants to use us for. But watch, God doesn't stop there. He wants to continually fill us. Watch what happens. Because once we're full, and we then continue to allow God to
to work in our lives, it overflows. It moves into the things around us. Other people can't help but look at you and me and say, oh, there's something different about that person. When we're moving in the anointing of the Holy Spirit, when we allow him to just drench our lives, we cannot help but do the things that he wants us to do. Amen? We become effective as we submit ourselves to his leading. And don't we as a fellowship at this time need some leading from God? Isn't it right that we seek his face and we ask him to show us our purpose in this place, in this community where we're living? So I would urge you to do one thing, and I would urge you to become part of our prayer day in March. Even if you can only spare an hour or so, I believe it's going to be an exciting time for you and for me and for us as a fellowship as we just seek God together. But don't wait for March. Start praying now. Prayer meetings are the church's engine room. It's where the power comes from. It's what moves us from a stationary position where we seem to be going nowhere to a place where we're travelling in the Holy Spirit's anointing and fulfilling the purposes he has for our lives. Amen? Do you believe that? God's plans, as our verse says, are for good. God never, ever, ever has a disastrous plan for you or for me. We can make it disastrous, but God doesn't design it that way. But that doesn't mean that everything in life is going to be perfect. Far from it. Nowhere in my Bible does it say that Christians will be exempt from life's trials. But it sure makes it easier, knowing we have a loving God that gives us a future and a hope in him. Now, if you're sitting there saying to yourself, well, Nick, that's all very well, but I've got no skills to offer God. I cannot possibly have anything that God can use or that he wants. Well, think again, because here comes our third thought this morning. You are equipped and able. And there's a verse that we've been sharing a lot over the past few months, and we used it a lot in Immerse. And it's 2 Timothy 3:16-17. All scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and make us realise what's wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we're wrong and teaches us to do what's right. God uses it, hear this folks, God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. And if we stop to think about that for a second, once we recognise that God's created us for a purpose, it makes no sense at all that he would leave us without being able to accomplish the task that he's planned for us to do. Bottom line, God does not want you or me to fail. So why is it that we so often feel we can't do it? Well, I think the answer lies in the fact that we're looking at it from our own limited human perspective. Do you remember Moses? When God confronted him in the burning bush, when he was told to go and lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, all the excuses under the sun. Who am I? I'm a nobody. God answers, I will be with you. But they're going to want to know who goes with me. How am I going to prove that? Tell them, I am, has sent you. In other words, tell them that I am the God who is all-encompassing and without limitations. Tell them that I am the God who stands outside of space and time, but can enter it at will. Just tell them, I am who I am. Folks, this morning, we know a God who created the universe and keeps everything in order. Therefore, we can be assured that he can equip and enable us as we grow and live in him. Hallelujah. We have that God, don't we? The I am, who is without limitations. That's exciting, isn't it, when you think about it?
God is without limit. There is nothing he cannot do. There's nothing he cannot do with you and with me. And that should excite us this morning and spur us on. Now, you would have thought that that was the end of it for Moses. You would have thought, okay, God, you are the I am. I can now go in your strength and do what you've asked me to do. But Moses isn't finished yet. What if they simply won't believe me, he says. So God gave him some visible, miraculous signs to perform. Do you remember? Throw your staff down, it became a snake. Put your hand in the cloak, and it turned to leprous. Do you remember those? In other words, more equipping going on here. And that's important to note, isn't it? That just because we have a purpose that we may well know, God equips us as we go along. We are a work in progress, as I've said. God always wants to equip us and use us and move us on and remould us and remake us into the things he wants us to be. So even though at this stage we may well not know how to accomplish the task that he has for us, he will equip us and make us able to do those things. It is an ongoing process. But even there, Moses wasn't finished. Having had those miraculous signs that obviously he couldn't do before, well, I'm not very good with words. To which God responded, I will be with you and instruct you what to say. And do we have the faith, I wonder, to believe that God can give us the right words to say in the right circumstance? You know, as Christians, we cannot get away with, well, I won't know what to say. Because God gives us the words to say. Nor can we get away with Moses' final pleadings. And this is what it was really all about, I think. Please just send somebody else. Anyone else. Just not me. How many times have you and me maybe thought that? Maybe even said it. God, I don't want to do that. In actual fact, God, I'm not going to do it. Get somebody else to do it. They'll be much better than me. But God has a purpose designed specifically for you. And now, even though God got angry with Moses, even then, he wasn't let off the hook. Because he says, okay, he allows Moses' brother Aaron to go with him. And I guess here's another important point. Very often the Holy Spirit provides people that can come alongside us and give us encouragement and support. We don't have to do it on our own. And the task God may have for you at this precise moment in time may be to get alongside somebody else to encourage and support them. That may be one of the things God might be asking you to do. We just have to have the faith and courage to say, as Isaiah the prophet did, here I am, send me. And recognize that when we say that, we need to be prepared for where that will take us. And our verse in Timothy tells us that his word is used to prepare and equip us. So we can also hold on to scripture, allowing it to deeply penetrate our very beings. Hebrew tells us the word of God is alive and powerful. And here we get what I call the two R's and the two M's. We need to read it. We need to reread it. We need to memorize it. And we need to meditate on it. There's no other book on this planet that can match the Bible. Even the Harry Potter series pales in insignificance when we put it alongside the written word of God. Why? Well, just check out the author. It might have been physically written by different people, but it's all been inspired by the great I Am, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that should excite you this morning, and that should at least get you to say amen. And for this very reason, we're able to hold on to verses like those penned by the Apostle Paul in Philippians, where he writes, I can do all things through Christ
Who does what? Strengthens me. Hallelujah. And I suspect, of course, you may well be able to recall many go-to verses of yourselves that you've held on to and that you do hold on to when you go through a particular situation or circumstance. We need to get into God's word. We need to read it. We need to reread it. We need to reread it again. We need to memorize it. We need to get it into our beings. We need to meditate on it. Think about it. See what God's got to say through it. There's no other book like it. The simple truth is that the God who created you wants a relationship with you that will last for an eternity. Hallelujah? Yeah? He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He bears all things. He believes all things. He hopes all things. He endures all things. He never fails. Amen? And the I Am calls you and me this very morning. Because you're special. He's created you for a purpose. Not only has he created you, he can equip you and get you ready for the things that he wants you to do. And I'm going to leave you with this verse from Micah. The Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you: to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that we can come as we are. You have created us to be special. We have a purpose. And Father, this morning I pray you will just make that known to us. Lord, as we carry out our primary purpose to worship you, Father, I pray that you will equip us and get us ready for the purposes that you have in our lives. Lord, help us to do what is right, because that's what you require. Amen. We're going to finish this morning with a great hymn. And it's, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how he could love me, a sinner, condemned, unclean. Thanks, Brian. Let's stand and sing together. Loving God, we thank you for hearing our prayers, feeding us with your word, and encouraging us in our meeting together. Take us and use us to love and serve you and all people in the power of your Spirit and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.